Well, thank you all again for coming to these meetings this morning. Let me just grab my... Today is a great opportunity not just to conduct various bits of church business and elections, but also to review where we are under God and to think about where God might be taking us in the future. And I'd like to start by quoting from Bill Hybels. I came across this quote a couple of weeks ago and I thought, gosh, that just sums up exactly how I feel. And this is what he says. He says, "I believe that the local church is the hope of the world. I believe to the core of my being that local churches have the potential to be the most influential force on planet Earth." He says, "If they get it and get on with it, churches can become the redemptive centres that Jesus intended them to be. Dynamic teaching, creative worship, deep community, effective evangelism and joyful service will combine to strengthen families, transform communities and change the world." And you know, I really do believe that. I believe that the local church, even our church, St John the Divine in Elmswell, can be the hope of the world. And why do I believe that? Well, quite simply, I believe Jesus Christ lives among us. And if the Holy Spirit will be our heartbeat, well then we can be a beacon of hope to the local community. That picture of a beacon takes us back to last year, 2015. Can anyone remember the Bible verse for last year? Very good. From Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden." And that is what we are, isn't it, as the local church? The light of Jesus Christ. Hope and a beacon for our community. Only in Jesus do we find true life, life to the full now, and then joyful life in his presence forever. Looking back, I see 2015 as a year where we have so much to be thankful for, but let's face it, we faced major challenges too. For me personally, I started out at the beginning of 2015 thanking God for his outstanding faithfulness. As we've heard, this wonderful platform that we're standing on had just been installed. And what's more, we had raised enough money to not only cover the cost of the staging, but also to put in the new projector and televisions. And so in January last year, I set myself a mental target. I thought, we've got the staging in, it'd be nice to get the projector in by the middle of the year. But we did not have to wait that long because God is faithful. Simon Milliard offered his help about how to put it all up. So they went up. This went up in early February. And due to Simon's creative thinking and some bargains which we found on the internet, all this was suddenly in place in February and it came in under budget by £2,000. And that £2,000, as we've heard, has gone in to improve the heating. And boy, will we benefit from that. About the same time last year, Simon and Julian also gave us some carpet, which has gone down in the chapel. So we have improved our prayer chapel. Then we add all the other improvements that have gone on. And we have even more to thank God for. As we've heard, I spoke to Jane Story. She generously gave us £2,000 out of her locality budget to pay for the parking facility in the churchyard. And Peter Goodchild's brothers got to work on that in the autumn. We've heard about the firefighters' donation of £400, which has helped to pay for the new pew runners in the sides of the church and in the choir area. We've heard about all the lead thefts that took place last year. But Graham Newman arranged the installation of a roof alarm in double quick time in October. And to pay for it, we've heard that he managed to get a grant from Suffolk Historic Churches. I spoke to John Levantis, and we've got a grant from him as well. The remainder of that has to come out of the fabric fund. And last year we initiated the heating upgrade. As we've heard, half of that has already been paid for using money left over from the staging and screens project, and we got a £1,000 grant from All Churches Trust. But a grant of £900 from Sarah Mansell has come in that's going to go towards that. But you see, very, very little fundraising for these projects in and around the building took place last year. God has been very faithful in providing for us. We worship a marvellous God, don't we? But as I say, last year we also faced challenges. It was very sad about a year ago to see the Taylor family and the De Vries families leave us. Both of those families had been deeply involved in many ways, leading home groups, helping out in services and in children's groups. Probably the greatest loss was Tim's excellent leading of one of our music groups. That's been greatly missed. But thanks so much to Caroline and Sue, who do an amazing job leading a team of musicians at our 9:30 service. Thanks to The Blaze, to Annabelle, Katrina, Ruth, Jean, others who help out in our contemporary worship week by week. We, of course, faced the financial challenge, a challenge that is getting ever tougher. We've heard from Graham how the parish share seems to be increasing roughly by about £3,000 a year, but I'm hoping that will plateau at the end of this year. But we did end up last year, as we've heard, with a shortfall of £5,700. But you wonderful people rose to that challenge, and it was more than paid off following our appeal in January. Thank you so much for your generosity. I want to spend just a moment continuing to thank everybody else who works so hard here at St John's. It is a privilege to work with so many committed people who give up so much time to enable this community of faith to flourish. We have our choir who lead us in praises to God, those who make the church look beautiful, the cleaners, the flower arrangers, those who serve on Deanery Synod and on the PCC, Richard and Brenda, our retired clergy, Caroline, Gavin, all those who work with children, those who lead small groups, those involved with the Friends of St John's. We've had a wonderful summer fun day and a Christmas fair last year. Many work very hard on those things. Holiday club that we do with our Baptist friends. What a wonderful week that was. 60 children and 25 teenagers hearing about Jesus. Then there was the light party, the men's breakfasts, ladies' lunches, church walks, the autumn concert. If you haven't had the opportunity, do pick up one of these booklets, the review of last year. There's some still at the back if you didn't get one last week. But when you read this, it is amazing how much goes on here at St John's. It's a great church to be part of. But thanks again, most of all, to our church wardens, our outgoing church wardens, and our treasurer. Thank you, John and Graham. Thank you also to Peter Goodchild as the assistant. These are guys who have just worked tirelessly enabling the church to run day to day, looking after the fabric and other issues. I'm grateful to Jean and Derek. They're very faithful workers here. They do so much, as do so many others, too many to list. But can we just have another round of applause for all these people who work so hard here? Let's look ahead. I'm going to start with the challenges. Next year, we are going to think about having to repair our chancel ceiling. It's come up in the quinquennial. A lot of the plaster is coming down. It will take scaffolding to sort that out. But there's an opportunity there. If we put scaffolding up, we'll be able to decorate it nicely, and it could do with being redecorated. It will cost a lot of money. There will be serious fundraising. But let's leave that to 2017. For the moment, we have to raise money to pay off these marvellous new heaters. And we do have this significant challenge of the parish share. It is going up by, well, heading towards £3,000 again. But I wonder, if we all increased our regular giving, I know we say this all the time, but it is important. If we all increased our regular giving by maybe £2 a week from now on, the price of a coffee, well, we should get a long way to meeting that increase. Can I ask you to consider doing this if you're able? If you need forms, do speak to myself or Graham, we will get them to you. But enough of the financial challenges. I started with that quote from Bill Hybels. The local church is the hope of the world. And I do believe that God has placed all of us here in Elmswell for a reason. We are a beacon of light shining the love of Jesus Christ into a dark world. The cover of our review booklet states, our aim is to know Christ and make him known. That is what we're about. It is by sharing the love of Christ, his death and his resurrection, that our wider community can be transformed and many enter into eternal life. This is the purpose and mission for which we are here. You may remember the picture of the four streams. Remember the four streams? This is how I see us going ahead here. Stream one is all about going deeper with God. We have a number of small, superb small groups which are enabling us to do that. Home groups, Mum's the Word, Cypher, the Lent lunches were a very great time of going deeper with God, organised by the Friends. There is a lot of growing in God here. Stream two is all about how we can make this place as inviting as we possibly can. Improving this wonderful historic building to be an even better place of worship. We do have a warmer place where we can share Christ's hospitality now. It's more accessible with the parking. It's more comfortable with the pew runners. We have this special place of prayer as well as the wonderful rooms at the back. And with the aid of these new, improved audiovisual facilities, we can be more accessible to a new generation. I think we have built a really, really good platform for growth here with Stream 1 and Stream 2. And I'd like us to now really think about focusing on Streams 3 and 4. Stream 3 is about inviting people to be with us through hospitality and so on. And Stream 4 is about going out to where people are. Our mission is to our community to share the good news of Jesus. That is the Great Commission. And Jesus invites us all to be part of it with him. Let's just focus on Stream 3 today. In particular, how do we invite people and encourage more people to join us here on a Sunday morning? How do we do that? Well, we have to be relevant for a start. And you know, this isn't as straightforward as it used to be. There was a time when most people in England would have grown up with significant exposure to the church and Sunday school. People would have been familiar with all the strange stuff we get up to in church, but that's no longer the case. And we have committed ourselves to the Growing in God initiative that was launched by the diocese, which rightly says churches in Suffolk need to think about how they grow it, not just in number, but grow younger. Now, as I look out at Elmswell, I do see a number of folk. They're normally older, but not exclusively, who still do associate with traditional forms of church. But I also see an increasing number of younger people who no longer relate to traditional church. They see it as outmoded and irrelevant, and that's just a fact. I know that some of these feelings exist within our own congregation. So as I stand at the door saying goodbye, I will get comments. One person will say to me, "Do you know, Peter, I really do love the organ. I'd love to hear it more in our services. In other words, that person is saying, I love traditional church, and I respect that. But then I'll hear somebody else who will say the precise opposite. Oh, I wish we could have more up-to-date worship songs. I wish we could be far more informal in our worship. They might even say I would feel more confident about inviting friends then. They're saying I desire up-to-date church. Over the last 2.5 years, I've tried hard to unite us together around a blend of both styles. And personally, I think it's worked quite well. So we will start with a worship song by the band. We'll meet Rupert the dog, followed by an action song. And that's there deliberately to help children feel part of the church. But then after the sermon, we'll have more traditional music. We'll be more traditional with classic hymns. And when this blend works together, it's nice. We can be one church family. But let's be honest. It's quite clear that many people here just do not seem to like this. And I can hear the tuts and I can see eyes rolled up when we do an action song or Rupert the dog comes out. But that begs us the question, do we really want to grow younger or not? Do we want to be a family congregation or not? But this is the dilemma. Some folk desire the traditional. Some prefer the contemporary. Therefore, we have a choice to make. Well, option one, we need to all agree with a mixed service of the latest worship songs, video clips, together with traditional hymns, as we've been doing. We continue to try and do that balance. If we continue that, it calls for loving acceptance of each other because we're united in Christ. And that unity, when it works, is a powerful witness to the world. However, with all the moaning that does go on here, I've been asking myself a question. Is this actually the best way to go forward? If we're to grow and be a positive spiritual influence in our community, what form should our services take? What is best for our own spiritual growth? And what types of services are best for people out there to invite people to? Those on the fringe, those who don't come to church normally. How can we enable that? Well, I was thinking about this and I was chatting to Russell Fife recently and I made the comment, you know, Russell, our best numbers actually seem to be on the first Sunday of the month. Sometimes I wonder if we should have 2 services every week. And Russ actually said, well, that might be an idea. We could have an informal service each week with a music group, Sunday school, if it's not all age, and then a second service, traditional with the organ. In the middle, coffee could be served. And both groups of people can mingle, as we currently do on the first Sunday in the month. It's an interesting idea, isn't it? Maybe it's too radical, I don't know. But this I do know, we live in a changing world. And if we're to heed the call of mission, we need to be flexible. You may remember when I first came to Elmswell, I asked the PCC, if St John's was a car, what would it be? And the overwhelming answer was, we're like a Volvo. We're safe. We're sturdy. We're reliable. We're risk averse. And then somebody, I'll embarrass him, it was Derek Jones, said, we should be a Land Rover. We should be more adventurous and go off-road. 2 services would be adventurous. I guess our top question needs to be, what sort of church would I feel comfortable inviting my friend to? Because some of our friends, let's face it, do like traditional church. They find that accessible. Other friends may just find that too difficult to cope with, wanting something more informal and contemporary. So what do we do? Do we try and offer both formats? We could do. We could just see how that happens. Pilot it for a year. See if God is in it or not. My plan is to ask the new PCC to spend some time considering this question of whether we should stick with one service on a Sunday or go for two. If we stick with one, what format should that take? I want to know what people think. I want to know what you think. So the PCC will consider one service or whether two services is an idea worth progressing, or is it just left best on the shelf? How might it work in practice? And if there is merit in it, we could pilot it for a year or so. If we did go for two services, that would involve hard work. But maybe God might just use it to grow the church. I know of several families who drive past St. John's on a Sunday morning to go to church elsewhere because they think we're old-fashioned and irrelevant. I don't know. Some of us like a band. Some of us like the organ. I don't know the way forward. I will appreciate hearing from you. But let me just make one thing clear. Let's say we stick with one service. Together as one church family. If we decide as a church family to do that, well then really the moaning has to stop. Because moaning has no place in the Church of Christ. If this local church is to be the hope of the world, we need to put such unhelpful behaviour aside and push forward together to make Christ and his salvation known. And if we stick with one service, there will be a blend of band and organ. Rupert will appear and we will have the dreaded action song. I have to lead it. Feel sorry for me. But we exist to do mission. We exist to make Christ known. We've got to think about the best way to do that. How do we make Christ known to a new generation? So some time ahead to do some thinking and some discussion and lots of prayer. Asking God to guide us. But you know, I really am very confident that God is at work here. We have so much to be thankful for. And we have great times ahead. I'm very much hoping to welcome a new curate to join us here. Many of you will have seen Ernest, who visited us in February. He's a very spiritual man. He takes prayer seriously. He is Nigerian, but he's been living in Rome for quite a long time. He has a wife and four children. But nothing is certain at the moment. We're waiting to hear if his visa is approved, and it might not be. Let's pray that the visa is approved. And let's pray for Ernest and his family who are in such a... and they're in a very uncertain place at the moment. Let's commit the visa and Ernest and his family to God in prayer. As I've already indicated, we're committed to the Growing in God initiative being driven by the diocese. And last autumn, the PCC agreed that we should think about putting some new signs outside to let those passing by know that we're a church where all are welcome, old and young, single and families. I want us to continue to work with the primary school, get closer links to the primary school where possible. And I'm excited that we've got the opportunity for confirmation in the autumn. And a number of people have already said they're interested in going ahead for confirmation. If you're interested in confirmation, do have a word with me. And finally, we have a wonderful new team of wardens and PCC members. And you know, if we work together as Christ's body, being led together by the Spirit, the future really will be bright. I'm not sure exactly of the future. Let's talk about it. But most of all, let's commit ourselves to the work of Jesus Christ in this place.